please. Ephesians chapter 6. We were singing these songs this morning at Beehive across the street, and it sparked something this morning. And we're not going to be preaching out of Daniel this morning, obviously. But I really don't have any notes on this either. But I think this morning that we need a reminder. Through everything that's been preached within the last year or year and a half to 2 years, this fits kind of along those same lines, talking about the soul and the spirit. And we're going to talk about the armor of God a little bit today, and I won't go very long. I'll have you out by noon, I promise. But Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse 10. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your help this morning. Lord, we pray that you would give your people something. And Lord, we pray that you just use me to deliver the message. And Lord, when I'm done, please let me know that I'm done. And Lord, I'll shut up and we'll go on. Lord, we thank you for your goodness this morning. And Lord, we miss our pastor when he's not here. We pray that you just heal him. And Lord, we pray that for your goodness, for your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Paul here is talking to the church of Ephesus. He's not literally, physically there. Of course, this is a letter that's been sent by some messenger. And if we think about the church at Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, John talked about it in chapter 2 of Revelation, and this was the church that had left their first love. And God had told the church through John that if they didn't get back to their first love, that he would take away that their candlestick, which the candlestick was the church. And today we know that there is no church in Ephesus. God removed that candlestick from that church because they did not go back to their first love. And so Paul, of course, during this time, he has started this church, and now he is sending a letter referencing some different issues within this book of Ephesians to the church at Ephesus. And we know in verse 10 it says, "Finally, my brethren," he's talking to saved individuals just like you and I are saved. He's talking to born-again Christians. He's not talking about lost individuals here. He's edifying and talking to the church, to Christians that should already know these things, and he's giving them a bunch of reminders. And I mean, chapter 5, he's talking to the wives and how they're to be toward their husbands. And he's talking to the husbands, how they're supposed to love their wives. He comes right down to the children in chapter 6, verse 1, and how they're supposed to act and obey their parents. And he says in verse 10, "Finally," right before I close this book out, he says, "Finally, my brethren, I want you to know how you're supposed to be to God. God has given you something, and yet it's not of you. It's by His power and by His might. And He says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then He tells them, put on the armor of God, and He gives it as a commandment that this is what you need to do. And now, putting on this armor, we often think of the knight in shining armor and how there's a physical armor that, but nothing about this is physical. Nothing. And He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. All those people in different armies, they all have their armors on. But they're fighting a physical battle, and they're able to see their enemy. Okay? And they're fighting flesh and blood. But He says to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against something we can't see. And He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, these rulers of this world, those aren't like the president and the rulers of the nations. This is something we cannot see. It's spiritual. We are soldiers of Christ, not fighting a physical battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle. We have an enemy we cannot see. And Paul, against everything that's coming up against this church at Ephesus, he sees that there's a spiritual battle. And so he's edifying this church to put on this armor of God that God has given to each believer. But yet it's an armor to be able to defend yourself against those spiritual wickedness and rulers of the darkness of this world. And then he says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then verse 13, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand it in the evil day. Now that evil day is whatever comes up against you, maybe like a trial or some kind of trouble or some kind of temptation that comes up against you. That's an evil day. Because you have to then make a point and a decision to withstand the evil or not withstand it. And so God has given you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So He wants us to stand, but it's not the standing like we would think of it. And we'll see that in this, within all of this passage, you don't see where we're turning and fleeing. There's no armor for your back. Okay? You turn and walk away or run away and you flee from this spiritual battle and you'll get it in the neck. All right? And so not only that, but you're to stand on your knees. You know, there's no armor for your knees. Yes, you have the feet shod with the preparation, but there's nothing from the knees down. That means you're supposed to be standing on your knees. It's prayer. And prayer is the most important. The prayer is the glue that keeps the armor on. Without prayer, you don't have armor. And you can see that in this passage. Now stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now we know what the loins are, and we know that when we put this armor on, if it was a physical armor, we knew back in the Bible days they had long robes with their pants on underneath, but you couldn't, it was very constricting. And so what they would do when it says when they gird up their loins and they ran, they would take it and pull it up and tuck it in so that way their legs could move freely and they could move We understand that concept. But that's kind of what he wants you to do. But not with your feet or your legs or anything else. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Because he in another passage, it talks about girding up your loins. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. First Peter chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of what? Your mind." Now, how do you gird up the loins of your mind? You see, the devil is always messing with our mind. Isn't he not? Every time you get down to pray, he's right there giving you something that needs to be done for the day, or you fall asleep, or something comes in while you're trying to pray. What? We got to gird up the loins of our mind. So when it says having your loins girt about with truth, that's your mind knowing what it says about the truth. Now, what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus Christ, who was standing right before him, says, "What is truth?" Well, Jesus Christ said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So, another name for Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, we've got the truth. So everything that's not based upon the truth is a lie. Now, in our lives, you may have your truth, and I may have my truth, as I see it. But you know, my truth doesn't matter if it doesn't line up with the Bible, with what God said. Doesn't matter what my perception of life is. My perception of the truth may be completely wrong. Okay, now, two couples... One couple will argue, mom and dad will argue, and each one of them has their perception of the truth, right? And which one's right? Well, neither one may be right, neither one may be wrong. They both may be right, in a sense. It's what is their perception of the truth. Well, if it's not lining up with God's word, that truth is wrong truth. It becomes false. Does that make sense? All right, so we're to gird up the loins of our mind with truth. That means we're to know what God says about whatever it is. How does God say to live? That's the way we ought to live. That should be truth. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." So we're to stand against the wiles of the devil, having our loins of our mind girt about with truth. Now the devil, like we've already said, he is seeking minds to devour. That's why there's a lot of our nation's going down, because of the loins of the mind of, I don't believe it's lost people. I believe it's the minds of the saved. The devil's not fighting those that are already his. He's fighting those who are not his. Us that are children of God. He's after your mind. Listen, if he can pull you away from Jesus Christ, if he can pull you away from your relationship with Jesus Christ, he has you. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have no armor. He says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. If you're not praying, you're not going to have any armor. We have to have our loins of our mind girt about with truth. We ought to know what the truth is. We ought to know where it's at and how we can find it, how we can access it. And then having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now this breastplate, If you think about the armor of soldiers, that breastplate covers their chest cavity. What does that do? That guards your heart. Now, the world tells us, follow your heart. Do you realize that is bad advice? To tell your children to follow their heart, that's what the world's doing, is following their heart. To follow your heart means, the Bible says, for the heart is deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Why would you follow something that's so desperately wicked? So you, but you can guard your heart. Amen? No, you don't want to follow your heart, but you want to guard it. And by doing that, you put on the breastplate of righteousness. There's so much wickedness inside our hearts. The Bible says, who can know it? You can't know it. I don't even know it half the time, what's in my heart and how wicked it is. So we have to guard it, and we put this breastplate of righteousness on it. What is righteousness? It's Christ's goodness. Not any goodness that I have, because I have none. Amen? It's the goodness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Anything good that you see in me is not really me. It's the goodness of God in me. Once we get that, we can say, wait a minute. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, whether good or bad. And Christ talks a lot about the heart. Christ could see into the heart of the Pharisees and know what they were thinking. Because out of the thoughts of the heart, the Bible says, let me read you this verse out of Proverbs chapter 4. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You know what that word keep is? To guard. It means to guard it, to keep it. With all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. Out of our heart proceed all our issues, whether good or bad. Whether good or bad. So we have to put this armor on. Our loins of our mind has to be girded up. We have to have on a breastplate of righteousness to guard our heart. And it says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the gospel of peace isn't not necessarily going out and giving the gospel. It says the preparation of that. You know, the Bible says the preparation of the heart in man is from the Lord. You know what? God has to prepare us before we can go out. We're talking about, you know, doing some things, maybe another ministry or something, or you know what, God has to prepare us first before we can get in on it. He has to prepare the church. Now, we all want to be a part of it, amen, but we have to have some preparation. There has to be preparations made, otherwise we blow it. And we either get a bad name from it or whatever. God, we have to allow God to prepare our hearts for whatever He has for us. So it's not just giving the gospel out, but to prepare to give the gospel. Does that make sense? I just want to make sense this morning, all right? And then verse 16, he says, above all, like this is the most important of all of it, of all the armor, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, so the shield of faith. Now, the shield is for, if you look at all these pieces of armor, they're all for defense. Now, we often think of the sword, which we'll get to, as an offensive weapon, but it's really not. You know, it's for defense as well. But the shield of faith is supposed to be put up there, and all the arrows and the darts or whatever are supposed to hit that shield. and to be able to deflect it and to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That shield takes the beating. It, you know what a fiery dart is? It's anything, now for spiritual, it's anything that makes you doubt. Because if you're doubting, you're not having faith. Right? It's faith. It's the shield of faith. You know, in Bible days, if you go look at the story with David and Goliath, somebody else carried his shield. He had a javelin in one hand and a sword in the other. There was a guy that went before him with the shield. If you look at the story, it'll show you that. A lot of times, the person wearing the armor never carried a sword. They had a sword in one hand, maybe a javelin or something in the other hand. And a lot of times, somebody else bore the shield. Well, you know what? A lot of times, we don't have enough faith, so what do? We have to rely on Jesus Christ, don't we? That He's going to take care of it, right? Right? It's a shield of faith. And if those darts, those fiery darts of the wicked could reach us, then we won't have any faith. Why have faith when we can worry, right? Isn't that it's funny, and we use it and we laugh about it, but really. So that, above all, the shield of faith is the most important piece. And then verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, when you read this, you got to understand something. You got to remember he's talking to Christians. Okay? So he's not telling them to keep that helmet of salvation on so they can be saved. They're already saved. This salvation is not the salvation for you to get to heaven. It's so that way you will be saved from those fiery darts and from the spiritual wickedness in high places. See, we often think that salvation is me going to heaven or hell, and it's not. He's already talking to Christians. He's calling them brethren. They're already saved going to heaven. So this salvation is the helmet of salvation, and you're to put that on your head to guard your mind so you don't start doubting your salvation. And not only that, but it's spiritual. Got to keep that devil out of our minds. And then he goes on, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the sword of the Spirit, it's a double-edged sword. It talks about in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's the truth. The sword of the Spirit is the truth behind all of it. And the reason I say it's for defense, because if I were to take this and I could use this and quote a verse and just cut your head off with it spiritually. Okay? And I could hurt you and make you never come back to church again. You'll drop out of church, maybe never set foot in a church ever again. That's not what the Bible's for. It's for defense. It's for answering questions. You got a Bible question? Ask it. There's your answer. If you're seeking for an answer, you're not going to get mad, right? Not usually, if you're asking honestly. The Bible is never meant as an offensive tool to hurt people with. And Baptists are bad about it. They'll just take a verse and just cut your throat and let you spiritually bleed to death. The Bible's not supposed to be used. It's supposed to be used with grace and mercy and love. I'm dealing with someone at work right now, and he's Mormon, and he's a good kid, but he doesn't see the love of God. And I'm trying to show him that God is not a God of wrath. He's not waiting to beat you over the head with a brick. Amen? We often think, well, if I do that, he's going to get me. He may not. He may have the mercy and the grace to let you go for years in that sin, hoping that you will come back to him and confess it. God is a God of love. Yes, he's a God of wrath too. And we can show you all the wrath that he's shown different nations of the world in the Old Testament, what he's going to do in the tribulation where there'll be a lot of wrath. But he is a God of love too. And sometimes he will let you go and let you go and let you go and show you. And sometimes he'll bring you back by the mercy and just by his grace and love. And so I'm trying to show him that, because all he sees is strict rules, and those are good. They'll keep you. You know, you're to train up your children the way you should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it, the Bible says. But it's not just about rules and regulations and putting boundaries up and bumping those boundaries or whatnot. You have to show love, too. And so there's a balance of both. And so the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it's for defense. If somebody attacks you, you have every right to quote a verse to defend yourself or to defend the Bible. You have every right to do that. But you're to do that in love and in grace with mercy. And then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now this praying, it says always with all prayer. Another verse says, pray without ceasing. That means don't stop praying. Continue with all prayer and supplication. So when we stop praying, like we've already said, the prayers is the glue that holds it all together, because without prayer, there will not be any armor. There will not be a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your relationship that you have with your mate is the same thing God wants with you. He wants you to tell him everything. He already knows. But he wants to hear it from you. He longs to hear your voice as you call out to him. He wants you to talk to him throughout the day and ask him, Lord, what about this? He'll tell you. It's prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know how I'm to pray for you, for all saints. You're to do the same thing for all saints. And not only that, with perseverance. You're to persevere at it. You're to continue in it. Don't give up. Continue to do that. And you know what? Jesus Christ is the armor. Every piece, I think if you go to Romans, it talks about putting on the armor of Jesus Christ and that he is, let me see if I could try to find that. It's Romans, I don't know if I've got it marked in here or not. Yes. Thank you, Lord. It says in Romans 13, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. So this works of darkness is those spiritual wickedness in high places, that spiritual darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. This armor of God is the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. but we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do we do that? How do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's by following what He's given to us, what He has designed for us. We're to pray, we're to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we put... Well, John says to abide in me and I in him, right? If we're abiding in him, he's already abiding in us. If you're saved today and you've asked Christ to save you, he's already in you. But he wants you to put him on. That means we have to think about him. We have to put on that armor. We have to put on that breastplate to guard our hearts. Not to follow our heart, but to guard it. Because of everything that's out in the world that can pull us away from Jesus Christ and pull us away from his relationship with him. Everything in life pulls us away. Whether good or bad, it may pull us away from Christ. So we have to keep that relationship open. We have to keep our sins confessed. That's what it means to put on the whole armor of God. It's the armor of God that is God. Does that make sense? It's all about Him. And He wants to work through us. He wants to use us in our community. I don't know what God has in store for our church. But He's doing something. And He wants to use us to do it. If we're willing, if we'll let Him. Amen? We talked a while back about the heart. And the heart is the will of man. Remember? The heart is your will. Whether you're willing to do it or not do it. The will is your heart. So do you have a heart for the Lord? Are you willing to let Him use you? Very important. God wants to use us. Are we going to let Him? I don't know what it is. The Lord knows what it is. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.